10:30.
We can invite all the ships out at sea for the Kiddush, because the likelihood is they won't make it anyway. It might be looking at the stars. I said it might be the name of stars.
There's another strike. What time is the doctor's
strike? So we're waiting to hear from Marnia as to what we should do about that. We should just begin. It's one guy I wouldn't want to be married to. All right. We're coming around the bend over here. Echot kotche mizbeach vetkot kotche berek habayit en mishanim otam migdusha lekdusha. As we've already seen, included in the dinner of Temura, basically is an idea of manipulating Kedusha, determining what it is we're going to do with the Kedusha of the Behema, and included in that is a sort of corollary to the Inyanim of Kedusha, is the idea that you cannot change from one Kedusha to another Kedusha. So if you have an Ola, you can't turn that Ola into a Shlomim, you can't turn Kotche Mizbeach into Kotche Berek Habayit, or vice versa. But mekachim otam hegdesh ilui, you can, however, be magdish something hegdesh ilui. And we already saw before what this hegdesh ilui is. That's something for Richie here, something very special, just in case he was feeling like he doesn't want to sing.
How did I know?
Absolutely, unthinkable.
About the seer. Some people bring apples to the teacher.
Yeah, very good. Invite you to the kiddush on the Shabbat, where we're going to have some of these with a very prominent sign, homemade by Richard. It's the Chatan Bereshit, my wine garden and I are making it. So if you get a chance to come with Mika.
Wait a second, that grandchildren? I have more herring.
We're having a lot of luck.
Other people could be most of more food.
Well, my kids, I'm sure, would make pancakes. Anyway, so what time are we going to... We're also figuring we'll do the fourth section of the Hoshana Rabbah Shir, whose first three you missed. I got off easy. Look at that. Just a picture of the Titanic. All the herring. I mean, think how many herring were displaced by the Titanic. So
who
had the last laugh?
Who had the last laugh? Great. Yes, indeed. Boy, did they make a kiddush in that dining room. That's right. What was being served in that dining room to the herring? That's so beautiful. Yes, indeed. All right.
We're going to have to do that again.
No, I think one Titanic is enough. You want to start all over again?
I just want to mention to us that we get traction.
You mean you don't think that the ships out at sea would enjoy listening to them?
Traction.
What? They love it.
Let's try it again. All right. I think they will. I'm not going to erase it, but we'll start again just in case. Timing.
Whatever time you want.
It's late. We're going to have a shear also.
7:30.
Is that all right?
8 o'clock? Probably too early.
Okay, 8 o'clock.
8 is better.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Fine.
For the duff. 8 o'clock.
Is that okay? No. At Reb Barnea's house, can you get all the way up there? It's like it's about 400 stairs up, I think.
In the house?
We're having in the house.
How come?
In the house is
not so bad.
No, why would
in the house is not so bad.
La Malka.
The kids little playground. Okay. In the first couple of rooms.
Sounds good. What are you going to do with the dogs and the little kids?
Near Rabbi Shimon. The dog can be there.
Closer to
the
light. You'll be
okay?
Quiet for the Shana Rabbah is a little bit later.
But you think we'll be all right?
What's the Scheinberg? Isn't
it? You sure?
Yeah, Nachliel will be the Scheinberg.
It's right. It's Nachliel will be the Scheinberg. All right, so 8 o'clock it is for Daf Yomi.
You're out. Yeah.
At the Barnea's home.
Okay. Daf Yomi plus...
If we need to shift it, we have an offer.
You make him love a Malkus after the Rebbe's...
You're twisting his arm and you...
No, my wife's arm. Wow, I can say sure.
Yeah, his wife will twist your arm.
He boils the fish.
Are you serious? Yeah. Listen, Barnea, maybe we should do your Milan Marcus another time. We just had one last week.
I must have.
Saba Josh made an interesting point, though, right?
Yeah.
More than what?
And for your kiddish, we're not going to be ready to eat.
Yeah, like two.
Yeah, that's true. I'm letting him get off early. Easier. Okay, let's try this again. We're holding on Daf Lamed Beis in Maseches Tur, and we're coming around the mountain as she comes.
Look, the Heilige
Mishnah. Echad kachim izbeach, v'echad kachim erech habayit, en mishanim otam mikdusha l'kdusha. Whether you're dealing, we've been talking about differences between kachim izbeach and kachim erech habayit, which is the topic of the parak from the beginning. But one thing that they do share in common is that neither of them can be changed for a different type of kedusha. So when it comes to kachim mizbeach, you cannot change, let's say, an oilah for a shlamim, or even a shlamim for an oilah, even though an oilah is a higher level of kedusha. You certainly cannot change between kachim mizbeach to turn it into kachim erech habayit. And the same thing is true in the inverse. You cannot take kachim erech habayit and turn it into kachim mizbeach. The Rambam Shita is, you cannot even change one type of Kachir Berech Habayit for another type of Kachir Berech Habayit. Now, if somebody donates money for the covering of the Heichal, for instance, and you want to use that money to repaint the Mizbeach with seed, you can't do that. That would be called a Shinui from one Yehud of Kedusha to another.
Wow.
But what is different between Kachim Mizbeach and Kachim Berech Habayit in this issue is that Magdishim Otam Hekdesh Ilui, you can, if you're Magdish Kachim Berech Habayit, you can turn that into Kachim Mizbeach in one sense, that you owe the money that it's worth to you to a Berech Habayit. And then we will actually be mocker of this carbon. In other words, you're going to buy it, basically. You're going to be, I'm sorry, Kachim Mizbeach to Berech Habayit. You're going to buy it, the rights, so to speak. So what you do is, let's say, depending, we had before, actually, I'm going to tell you in a moment the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, but we had before the sugya of Hekdesh Ilui, which is if somebody owns a carbon. And he's going to bring this oilah. Now, there's very little of it in it that is his. But one thing that is his, even though it's already been magdashed, is that it's coming for his benefit, and God will remember him favorably, and so on and so forth, right? Literally, so no. So suppose he goes over to somebody and he says, listen, George, would you like to bring a carbon oila that you're not, I mean, I know you're not high of one, but, you know, just on a lark, I could sell you the rotson and the carbonella for cheap. So that's worth certain something. You know, I have a carbonella. I'll let you be the one that's marketing it. So that's called tovat hana'ah. Now, there's also a higher level of tovat hana'ah, which is where I made a neder that I'm going to bring an oil. And therefore, it's incumbent on me. It's upon my shoulders, as the Lashon Gemara said, Hare Alai, I'm putting it on me. Over there, you set aside an ayla. If you don't have this ayla anymore, you're going to have to buy a whole other ayla. So over there, it's worth the full value of the animal for you to be able to have that. If you give that to the Berech Habayit, then you have to also pay the value of that animal to the Berech Habayit. So this is a very valuable condition. It's not that you've actually changed the use of the animal in any way. It was always going to be on the Mizbeach. It's still going to be on the Mizbeach. And the only thing that you have to do is get a good attorney to work it. Oh, look at this. Look who just walked in. A perfect attorney. Come, Momo. Take a seat over here. And David can sit right here. That way I can poke both of you if necessary. Now that's something else. As I mentioned to you earlier, so he's sneaking a look at art over here. But as I mentioned to you earlier, That's always a dangerous thing to do when you're in the middle of the thing. Do that before and after. There is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. And Rashi gives a different interpretation over here of Hekdesh Giluy to which Tosfos differs. Rashi says Hekdesh Giluy over here is similar to the din of Truma, where we saw that there's Tovat Hana'ah. What is the Tovat Hana'ah? That a person can say, I will pay you to give that Truma that you are going to give, I will pay you a certain amount of money to give it to my grandson. Who's a Kohen? My daughter married a Kohen. That's called Tovat Hana'ah. Rashi uses that idea here and says there's also a right that you could have to utilize a Kohen that would be different than the one that you were planning on giving it to. So you could say, look, how much would you pay me to give this carbon to a particular Kohen to Shech? And that way, he will be able to get the skins of that animal. It's worth a certain amount. I said, the skins are worth $10. I'll pay you 50 cents to give it to him to do the Aveda. And that way, it's worth it. So that's also called Hekdesh Giluy. Tosfos does not like that because the Gemara never uses that idea of Giluy. Why is that? And we only find the idea of the rights of Tovat Hana'ah to designate the Kohen that you're going to give Truma in the Matanos for the Kohen. And this is not something which we consider to be Tovat Hana'ah, something that's given to Kohanei HaMishmar. And therefore, he says, I don't understand why Rashi is departing from the Pirush of the Gemara that we had before in Erechim, in which the Tovat Hana'ah consists of, basically, the rights to sell the Ritzui of the carbon to someone else. So even if that person didn't want to bring a carbon ayla, wasn't chayav to bring a carbon ayla, I can give him an optional carbon ayla. How much would you pay to have an ayla brought in your name? And people do that all the time, and I'm not ready to pay for the building of the Beit HaKnesset, but I'll pay to have a little plaque up in my name, so I'll pay part of the cost, so to speak. The same idea would be true over here. So, in any event, we have the nafkamina here, an additional nafkamina between Kachem Mizbeach and Kachem Bedek HaBayit. You can take Kachem Mizbeach, and you can be mala the domim that it's worth to Kachem Bedek HaBayit. No, he knows what Kachem Bedek HaBayit is. He knows what it is. This consistent underrating of a good friend is just simply intolerable, especially with Ark right next door. He knows that dummy means money. That's something that nobody, and he knows it means blood. That's something nobody misses. So, thank you, Ramone. So here, that direction you can do this in. The other direction, to say that I'll take Kachem Bedek HaBayit and I will make them Hekdesh Giluy to the Mizbeach in the sense that the worth of it I would give to the Mizbeach. Rashi says, I mean, what kind of worth would that be? There's no Tovat Hana'ah for Kachem Bedek HaBayit. Because again, remember, he's learning the Tovat Hana'ah is the right to give it to a particular coin for the Orot. The Shitato, he follows through. There's no such thing as Tovat Hana'ah. What value is there on something that is Kachem Bedek HaBayit that you have a right to determine? You can't determine anything. And therefore, it only works in this direction. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Why would that be? Why can't you say exactly the same idea that the Gemara said before, that Tovat Hana'ah means the right to make a donation that's called on your name? Why can't you give money and say, but I'm going to give it in your honor? How much would you pay that it should be in your honor? So isn't it exactly the same thing? Therefore, Tosfos explains, it's a completely different point over here. The reason that you cannot take Kachem Bedek HaBayit and say, I'm going to be magdish at Hekdesh Giluy to give it some type of additional value. What that additional value is to give to the Mizbeach, and I can give money to the Mizbeach, which is then used to purchase dessert for the Mizbeach, which consists of eilis when the Mizbeach isn't busy. The reason you can't do it is because you have absolutely no balut when it comes to Bedek HaBayit. What is there to say? I'm going to be magdish this. I mean, why don't you just go to take a look and take a look at Brooklyn Bridge? I'm going to be magdish the Brooklyn Bridge. And what will my hekdesh consist of? But you don't own the Brooklyn Bridge. Ah! But it'll be on your name. What is that supposed to mean? So therefore, Kachem Bedek HaBayit. It's an absurdity to discuss the idea of hekdesh Giluy. You don't own it. What is saying? And this is a fundamental difference, which has a lot of implications, la locha, in the dinim of Hekdesh Mizbeach, Kotche Mizbeach, Kotche Perek Abayit. So what does that ownership consist of? In practical terms, it consists of the right to need to pay an additional 20% for pidyon. In other words, you are considered to be a buyer, you're an owner when it comes to Kotche Mizbeach. You are not considered to be an owner when it comes to Kotche Perek Abayit. You want to buy something from Hekdesh, the fact that you were the one who donated it, there's no implications whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The moment you say, this is Hekdesh, Amirato Legavoris, Kibisirato Lehediot, and it's owned by Hekdesh, it's out of your hands. You want to buy it back, you become like anybody else. Stand in line. And when you get there, you pay the same price anybody else gets. When it comes to here, since you do have elements of Ritzui in this carbon, it's your carbon. And that element of it being your carbon has these implications, one of which is the financial implications of the right to sell the use of the Ritzui. Okay? So therefore, the din of Hekdesh Yilui works only in one direction. I can be male the Mizbeach to Perek Abayit, but I cannot be male the Perek Abayit to the Mizbeach. I don't own the Perek Abayit.
That's the relationship to the Pesach.
I just want to understand something. The Hekdesh Yilui on the Kotche Mizbeach is when you've got a korban. And it's going to be brought.
It's
going
to go anyway.
It's going to go anyway.
Yep.
And all you're selling, you're raising the level of kedusha by now.
Nope.
Okay, so
you're being male the damim.
And that damim.
You're taking the value that's still left in it, and what is that value? The tovat hana'ah. Well, it's either or the fact that it's worth a heck of a lot to you.
Right.
Okay. Because otherwise, you're going to have to replace the whole thing.
And you're adding that money to it. You're
I'm taking money. That value and adding my, a need to pay it also. I need to pay for that too. And who do you pay that for? That you say I'm giving that to the Perek Abayit.
So in that sense, it's a shino.
In that sense, it's a shino, even though it really doesn't change anything. It's just taking an element that hadn't been given to Hekdesh previously, and it's now giving it to Hekdesh.
Hekdesh more.
Yeah.
So
right. And it's an implication of the value of the carbon.
Why has it already been given to Hekdesh?
Because I still own the right to dedicate it. Not the value of the cow. The value of the right of dedication. So now, for whose name it'll be, who gets the little plaque on the cow? So now, that is a little bit of a difference here. And, machrimim otam. Now the same thing would happen with charamim. Because if you're machrim something to Hekdesh, it goes to the Perek Abayit. If you hold Stam Charamim Lebedek Abayit, the word Chelek is giving me a look again as if he doesn't know what Chelek is.
Why didn't the first spaceship get off the ground? There's so many plaques.
You could be Machrim something, and then it goes to the Perek Abayit. That would be the same halach. We'll see it. This also is Nogea. The din of charamim lekoanim, which we'll talk about. But apparently, we're sitting over here, stam charamim berek abayis, as Tosis points out. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kotche berek avirat. Sorry, the imei tu yikaveru. Now, if anything happens to these animals, we saw before that there was a question of whether podim adat kadashim laachilan leklavim, meaning if something is unusable, and here a nevela is certainly unusable for food, but you can use it for dog food. Whether you're allowed to be podek karchim for such purpose. That we saw before was a machlokas. Our Mishnah previously said, ein podek karchim l'chalan l'klavim. You cannot sell kodesh for dog food. Here there's another issue, because certainly that halacha has nothing to do with karchim berek abayit. But the question over here is, that would be, let's say, you have a live animal, it's a treifa, and you'd have to determine. Okay, it's a treifa, I can't eat it, but I could still use it for dog food. Ah, but ain't put in a kadashim. But how about if it dies? If it dies, there's another problem. Even if I hold it, you're allowed to be put at kadashim. For klavim, there's a pasuk that says, ve'emid akohen ve'erich. You need for the animal to be able to stand in front of a board of assessors and to determine its value. A dead animal has difficulty doing that. And therefore, there is no din of pidyon where there is no din of ha'amad of ha'aracha. So, l'chora, what it's saying over here, he made to yikaver of either of the above type of animal, whether they were dedicated to the mizbeach, or whether they were dedicated to the mizbeach, in which case what happens is if they would be tmimim, we would actually sell them for the use of the mizbeach, and the money would go to the Perek Abayit, as we've seen. If they die, they'd have to be buried. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, it depends. Kotche berek habayit im beitu yipadu. There is no din of ha'amada v'ha'aracha on kotche berek habayit. And over there, if kotche berek habayit die, then you can certainly be po to them. You don't have to just let them rot, so to speak, and bury them. Amar Rav Huna, kotche mizbeach shitfisan v'charmei kohanim lo asaklum. It's all very nice to talk about the din of charamim if you're talking about kotche berek habayit. But remember that there's an idea called Charmei Kohanim. Some hold Charmei Kohanim as Stam Charamim. Go to the Kohanim, Mishulchan Gavoa. And others learn that Stam Charamim go to the Bet HaGabayit, but if you specify, I want this to be Muhram for the use of the Kohanim, then the Kohanim get that property. However, Tainas Rav Huna, you cannot be Magdish Hegdash Ilui. Yitfisan is Hegdash Ilui. You cannot be Makvis, the additional value that you have in a carbon and say, that value goes to the Kohanim. That's nothing. My time. Why do I say this? Because the Pasuk says, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodashim Hu LaHashem. That Kol Cherem the Kodesh Kodashim LaHashem LaHav. The only place where you can send, so to speak, the additional value that is represented in the Hekdash Ilui is to the Lord, not to the Kohanim. So Hekdesh, the Berek HaBayit, represents the Lord, so to speak. But to the Kohanim, it's not, there's no way to take it and take that Kedusha, the value of that Kedusha in it, to give it to Kohanim.
Not because it's out of your Rishus. La Hashem, you don't have it at all. La Hashem meaning it can only go to Hashem. You can't give it to Kohanim. That's the Rishus?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to, it's out of your reach. La Hashem. I mean, you cannot.
No, you're correct. The first approach is correct. Mesa. Kotche berek habayit shitfisan. Now, what is Rav Huna going to do with this brisa? Here it says, Kodesh Kodeshim, that you, rather, Kotche berek habayit, that you send to the Kotche Mizbeach, or that you send to Charmei Kohanim. Okay, we know, but that's ridiculous. Lo asa klum. Again, as Tosus explains, lo asa klum, you don't own it. That's the Brooklyn Bridge you're trying to give to the Mizbeah. According to Rashi, the point is that there is no tovat hana'ah in it for you because there's no benefit to any particular individual in it. Charmei Kohanim, in the other direction. You take Charmei Kohanim and you say, I want this to, whatever rights I have in it, to go to the Mizbeah or to Berek HaBayit. Obviously, lo asa klum. Cherem is even worse. Because, I mean, the cherem, you've removed all rights to it. That's how it went to the Kohen. It's not that you determined where it's going to go. You just said, I remember the idea of a cherem is that you are, it's even more than hefker. You're saying all human control over this issue is hereby removed. And then, so to speak, it goes back to the default position of La Shem Haratzim Noah.
So
you don't have anything in it at all.
So to give a carbon to a specific Kohen, you'd have to give it to him.
No, this is not a carbon. This is a gift to Charomi. You cannot come at the end of all of this research and suddenly begin asking questions that require a great deal of preparation. Next time around, Bezrat Hashem, which is only in about 7 years from now, you will... What do you mean? What's so funny? It passes like a flash. Next time around, Bezrat Hashem, and I will remind you, Bezrat Hashem, that I told you it passed like a flash. You'd say, I never believed it would be Ad Kedei Kach a flash. Next time around, you will sit here and learn with us from the beginning of Erech and Temura. And then you will be fully qualified to answer these questions yourself.
I would like to make a daring and original suggestion.
A bet.
No. No, I have no suffix.
No odds.
No, that's not the issue.
No odds.
I would like to recommend to myself and to the shir that we prepare Mishnayos Trisos. Because the blog is so long, and there's so much work.
Mm.
We all know the Mishnayos, Rebbe's work will go a little bit smoother.
Well, that is very nice.
That's a good idea. Do you have anything to
beat
the heart on that?
sorry. Standing together?
Nothing.
The only way forward is revolution.
We need to do it together. I'm happy to do it together.
Look at that.
What?
He's ready to do it together.
Yeah.
He wants to invite everyone over from Malav Malka every week to the Mishnayos for Christmas.
Yes. And we have to still discuss when the Siyum is on Tumurim. Is everyone on Sunday?
Yeah,
on Monday?
Whoa.
But there's no time. If you want it Sunday, people have to know now.
I think Sunday, I mean, after the Kiddush and the Malav Malka, I mean, a Siyum is a little bit tough. Also, I think you're leaving before the Siyum.
This Sunday?
Oh,
we finish at last Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Plus, you got lunch
in the morning. Have it like that. Well, such a backlog.
Sunday.
This
not much time on Monday.
No, not much time on Monday. That's true. We'll have to think about this. Sorry. Come. So we know this part also. Okay? These two statements everyone in this room could have made on their own. I can't take Kutche Bedek Abayit and decide that it has some value that I'm going to give. That's the Brooklyn Bridge. I can't take Harmeko Anim that I've already made and get. That's also the Brooklyn Bridge. And that's all it says. You know, okay, that's innocuous. But it's not innocuous. It's not innocuous because of what it left out. Because if what Rav Huna said is correct, namely, that Charmei Kohanim, you cannot take Kotshei Mizbeach and make them Charmei Kohanim, then it left out a very important third clause. Kotshei Mizbeach, Shekvisa Mecharmei Kohanim, Lo Amar Klum. That's a Chiddush. And the one big Chiddush that it leaves out. Can you explain that? Yeah, I can explain it, because it's not true. So clearly the Bryce is implying that Rav Huna's Ma'amar is a mistake, and that Kotche Mizbeach can, Charmei Kohanim can in fact be Mutfasim, right? Kotche Mizbeach, I can be Matfis for Charmei Kohanim, because otherwise why did I leave it out? So Masha Asasui, to you after Rav Huna, how can Rav Huna explain this? Right, Rav Huna claimed that Hatfasa for Charmei Kohanim is not Shayach. Hatfasa can only go Lashem. And here it says not like that. Amnach Rav Huna, please, there's nothing to do with it. Each one of the clauses in these, the two clauses over here, each one had two parts. Right, because what did it say over here? Kotche Berek Abayit, either because you was Berek Charmei Kohanim. Charmei Kohanim, either Bekotche Mizbeach or Kotche Berek Abayit, okay? You want to have a parallel third clause. Tell me, what's the parallel third clause?
Kotche Mizbeach.
Yeah.
You have that all together.
Kotche Mizbeach. Well, what would have been the third clause? L'shitatchem. And Kotche Mizbeach, she'tfisam l'ma. L'charmei Kohanim and Berek Abayit? Excuse me, I'm wrote about Berek Abayit. So I can't have a parallel third clause. In other words, I took three issues. Mizbeach, Charamim Lekohanim, and Berek Abayit. I'm trying to show you that two out of those three cannot be mutfas to the other two of the three, respectively. But I can't say now the third one can't be mutfas to the other two, because it can only not be mutfas to one. I could have said, Kachim is back, you cannot be mutfas for Charamim Lekohanim, and that would have been true. But it certainly would have destroyed the balance of this brisa. And it would easily have misled somebody. Now, somebody's coming along, he's remembering the Bryce. Oh, okay, you got three issues. Any one can't go for the other two. And that's not so. So therefore, it was more kedai for the Tana to leave out the part about Kotche Mizbeach, since I can certainly be Matmis Kotche Mizbeach for Berek Abayit, that it says in the Mishnah. And the third. It's just that I can't be Matmis at the Charmei Kohanim. So Amar Lacha Rav Huna. Says Rav Huna, Chodesh Shaire, the reason that the Tana left it out, Chodesh Shaire. He left it out because of one of these things, not because of both of them. Because Kotche Mizbeach Shitvisan LeBerek Abayit is certainly Masha Sasri, thank you. What he did, he did. It's only to the Charmei Kohanim Lo Asa Klum. So how can I write it down? Ayo Tainabu. Why not write that? Lisnayo Gabehana. Why can't you write it with the others? Because the Tana, the Beitarte Katani, the Let Beitarte Lo Katani, the Tana was not about to write a third clause that would only address one out of two of the issues of the other two clauses. Simply would have destroyed the whole balance of this memorable price. It's not. Now, the Mishnah said, "My pishin otam hegdesh ilui." Okay, when it says now that whole din of hegdesh ilui that we had earlier in Erech and so on here, what does it mean? Hegdesh ilui. I'm sorry, it's missing an important word over here. It says, "Makdishim otam hegdesh ilui umachrimim otam." That's the statement, third line on this page. Okay, can you explain to me what those two clauses are? What's the difference between Hegdesh Ilui and Machrimim Otam? I mean, the only way I could figure it out is that Hegdesh Ilui means to the Berek Abayit. Machrimim Otam means to the Kohanim. I mean, if you're telling me Machrimim Otam also means to the Berek Abayit, then what's the heck's the difference between the Hegdesh Ilui and Machrimim Otam?
Machrimim Otam and Berek Abayit can't mean the same thing. It can't mean the same thing.
I would assume it can't mean the same thing. So my lab, I mean, the way to read the Mishnah is that Makdishim Otam means, the Hekdesh Ilui means the Berek Abayit, Umachrimim Otam means the Chamei Kohanim, right? Which disproves Rehuna's contention. No, 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 says Rehuna, that's not what it means. Inivini Kotche Berek Abayit. Certainly Machrimim Otam also means Machrimim Otam to the Berek Abayit. But what the Mishnah is saying is, I don't care how you express it. Lo shna mafik lo b'lashon hegdesh leberek abayit, v'lo shna mafik lo b'lashon harmei leberek abayit. Now, that indeed is a big chiddush. And we saw before that there are many implications to this chiddush and machlokesin among the achronim as to what those implications are. Because one way of understanding it is that the concept of cherem, the pashtus is that cherem represents an entirely different idea than hegdesh. In hegdesh, I utilize my ba'alut, I utilize my ownership, and define what is going to be done with it. What's interesting is that even hefker is a use of ba'alut and defining what's in it. Because even if I remove my ba'alut from a thing, I can determine, first of all, according to some, I could determine vis-a-vis whom I'm removing it. If you hold it hefker la'aniyim alone, for instance, it's called hefker. Then clearly it means a siluk of ba'alut is not really dropping the usage of the thing. But even if you don't hold that, we saw earlier that there's an afkamina, let's say, in the case where somebody wants to create a hefker on a grain that's about to fall off and be leket only for aniyim, and I want to add that it should also go la shirin. So there's elements of defining what this thing will be used for. I want to make sure it goes to everybody, and not only to the poor, for instance, right? But what's worse is that when I mafkir things, what defines it being so different from cherem is what I'm doing is I'm saying I want whoever wishes to take it to take it. I'm only making it a universal gift. But it's still essentially my universal gift. In doing a cherem, what I do is I say, no human being has the right to determine what this thing is any longer. I, being the last known human to have shayfus to this thing, do hereby send it back to where it comes from, so to speak. In which case it leaves the universe. And now has to be determined by God. What's going to happen to this thing? So there, to say that I can be magdish something, hegdesh ilui, where the hegdesh ilui, in this case, consists of a removal of all of my rights, does seem to be nonsensical, right? Because Bishlam had to say, look, I have certain rights in this thing. If I want to, I can sell it to somebody for 50 cents, you know, for per $100 in order to get the pleasure of bringing a korban olah. And now I am misalik that, and it goes to the Berek Abayit. I mean, you have a misalik it. Has it been realized? It's a potential. I mean, to say That potential has value, and I want to define where that value goes. That's to give it the Berakabai. But to say the non-use of that potential now is suddenly defined as going to the Kohanim, or to the Berakabai, or leave the Ravuna, that's a big Kiddush. It might even imply that when you use Charamim to give to the Berakabai, you are not really being Machrim. That's how some learn. Some of the Achronim Taina. That Charamim given to Berakabayit means that it isn't truly Cherim. It's just a different mode, meaning that what a person really means is, I wish it to be God's. Not that he's saying it belongs to no one. He's saying, I want it to go to God. It's a whole different idea. That's a gift. You want it to go to God, so you just made a gift to Hegdash. You're just saying it in a strange way. Exactly. And the way the Gemara, the Braya that they bring is from the Gemara over here. That's a matter of phrasing. It doesn't matter if you say it as Cherem or you say it as Hegdash. Basically, it's the same thing. Yeah, I'm designating it. So this is what Ravuna is saying. Now, Tosis makes it dependent in the question of what Stam Charamim. Now, there are persons that says, I'm Machrim. What does that mean? So there's two different ways of looking at it. If Stam Charamim goes to Berakabayit, so then that, okay, it's going back to Rishus of God. Stam Charamim going to the Kohanim, I mean, after that, apparently, is not the way you would see the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to be saying, Machrimim Otam, Ravunis Tanim, Machrimim Otam means, by definition, the Berakabayit. And therefore, it's nothing but a variation on a theme. If I want to be Magish at the Berakabayit, I want to be Machrim at the Berakabayit, I could give that money. But what I'm saying, says Ravuna, there ain't no such animal as being Machrim something to Kohanim, which is considered to be a Hatfasa of Hegdash Ilui. You can't utilize real Cherim for Hegdash Ilui and then define what it is that it's gonna be. Okay, so the Mishnah, therefore, does not disprove Ravuna. That's where we're up to so far. Says the Gemara, that's all very nice, the Mishnah, but the Braisa that's talking about this Mishnah says very clearly that that's not the case. It says clearly in the Braisa, Makdishim otam hekdesh ilui equals kachi berakabayit. Umachrimim otam equals charmei kohanim. Now that's about as clear as you can get, Ravuna. Furthermore, there's another Braisa that says, the Od, Hatanya, Kotche Mizbeach, Shigdisho Lecharmei Kohanim Masha Asa Asui. And what about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You take Kotche Mizbeach, and you say, I want the value, the rights that I have in it to go to the Kohanim, as Charmei Kohanim. It does work. Ravuna says it wouldn't work. To Yufta, the Ravuna, to Yufta. Forget about Ravuna. What do you mean, forget about Ravuna? Ravuna had a Pusik. And Pusik said, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshimu LaHashem. It has to go Davka LaHashem. And you're telling me, forget about Ravuna. Everybody knows what we did with that Pusik. You remember we used this Pusik before. You don't have to worry about Ravuna, says the Gemara. Because the Pusik basically meant that even Kodesh Kodeshim can be given LaHashem. That was the Chiddush of the Pasuk. The Pasuk was the source of the idea of Hegdesh Ilui, that you can take a right that you have in a Korban, and you can give it Lashem. Amaru Amakra, Cherem, Kol Cherem. The Pasuk is not coming to tell me that you can only give a Cherem Lashem. It's Mashma. Anything can become a Cherem. Kol Cherem. Even Kodesh Kodashi. So in other words, even though this is a Korban Ayla, you can still turn it into a Cherem. That's the meaning of the Pasuk. Now Rabbi say, I must point out to you that until this point where we didn't know that that was the Pasuk, and Ravuna used the Pasuk for something else, was still talking about a Hatfasa of Hegdash Ilui. Exactly. Where did he know it from? Is it not possible that Rashi's pshat, in which he ignores the Gemara, is the pshat in the Havamina of the Sugya before we come to the Pasuk? In other words, if I turn around and I say to you, listen, I have a carbon to bring. That carbon has certain value to you. I will put a plaque on it that says, in honor of you. What if the guy turns around and said, you know, you are a dumb guy. What is your right to determine a plaque on a carbon? You said you're bringing a carbon. You have a chiyuv to bring a carbon. You can't say it's a plaque to me. What kind of Torah Tanah is that? Therefore, comes along the Pasuk and says, even Kodesh Kodashim has a chayrim value. That's a tremendous Kodesh. But to say the idea that in the event that I have some actual monetary value in a thing, that that thing is worth money. First of all, I don't need a Pasuk for that. If Rashi is correct, I might have monetary value in this because I can sell it to somebody to bring this coin, to bring this carbon, al yaday, a particular coin who will then get to keep the oil. So that's worth 50 cents. It has nothing to do with kachin. It's just the reality. Either you have that or you don't. If you have that, you want to be magish it, be magish it. That's called hegdash ilui. What does that have to do with the carbon? It has absolutely nothing to do with the carbon. You want to sell the rights to a photographer to take a picture of your beautiful animal before it's being brought to the Mizbeah. The National Geographic decides it wants to do an article on Kanye for some crazy reason. Wants to take pictures of picking up ends and of people bringing carbonas. So you say, listen, I mean, it's a lot of tircha for me, but I got a beautiful carbon, and I'll give the National Geographic rights and sole rights to pictures of this animal for the small fee of $10,000. So what are you going to say? That Hector says you're stealing our rights. Well, it's nothing to do with your rights. It's in my house. I'm selling the rights to the photography. I need a plastic to tell me that. So the din of Hector's Elui that Ravuna is talking about could be a completely different din of Hector's Elui. That's all the Rashi, and all he's saying is that an Inyan of Charomim is not Shayach. He's using the plastic to show me there's no concept of Charomim. There's only a concept of giving things L'Hashem. You can't undo the chayram, you can't give to a particular purpose. It's by definition given L'Hashem. That's all. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a particular usage. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give it to Kohanim, that's fine. Okay, but it still only works for a siluk of your balut. Alright, in which case all of Tosus' objections to Rashi would be answered, because you have to ask Tosus. So what did you think Ravuna was doing? Would Ravuna know that you can do Hekdash Ilui if not from this Pasuk? So what's the Gemara saying? Well, we know what we do with the Pasuk. Forget about Ravuna, we have an explanation of the Pasuk. So then what did Ravuna do? We never even discussed that. Now the problem is, Umi Omar Ula Achim, Ula said that? Now what, that in other words, what he's saying is that the Pasuk is coming to Uraisa to teach me that I have rights in Hekdash Ilui and that I give it to the Berakabite. Oh, man, I mean, Va'amar Ula, it's Ula himself who said that if you're matvis and Ula to the Berakabite, what happens? In Vala Ikuv Gizbarim Bilvah. You know what happens? Tell you what happens. All that happens is that basically what you did is you gave the rights of the Hakorvat Hakorban to the Berakabai. That's all. Now that ain't worth a penny. So what does it mean? It means the Gizbar can say, hold on a second. Don't bring that carbon until we have a representative standing at the time of the carbon. Meaning that all that's involved is diplomacy, not money. I can't say to you, pay me for the rights to your carbon. Excuse me. The carbon was meant to be brought to the Mizbeach. You can't tell me the carbon now cannot be brought because I didn't pay you. So what did you mean? I meant that you have the right to be called the owner of the carbon. And what right does that give you? Well, the owner of the carbon is Eimed on his carbon. It's a great honor to be Eimed on your carbon. The Gizbar should send a representative and be Eimed on the carbon, and he can say, you can't check that until we send our representative. Okay, fine. We'll do that.
Whatever Kapora?
No, Kapora is nothing. You're considered to be the owner, the covet.
Does the owner get the Kapora?
It's not for Kapora, no. It's Kapora Mikufia. It's a different issue, what Mikufia means, basically we had back in Zvach. But in any event, Ula himself is saying over here clearly that no money would change hands. So how could Ula be the one who says, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim L'Hashem means that you could take Kodesh Kodeshim and actually be mocked from it Hegdash Iluy, in which case it has value for Bedek HaBayit. I don't understand. Says the Gemara, actually it's only been Rabbanah. You're right. The whole din of Hegdash Iluy in the sense of value is only Rabbanah. What? What about the Pasuk? The Pasuk is an Esmachta. We pretend that from this Pasuk we learn out that the Hegdash Iluy actually needs to be paid to the Bedek HaBayit. But the real use of this Pasuk is to tell me the halacha of Me'ila. And the din of Me'ila we'll see in a moment. I will say that it says, what is it coming to tell me in Me'ila? It says, Ko Cherem, Kodesh Kodashim Lashem. So Kodesh Kodashim means that it's Kodesh in such a way that it's God, it's Lashem, and you can't use it. If you use it, then you're violating God's Rishus, which is the din of Me'ila. Someone is moil against, he has to bring a carbon ashram, and he has to pay its value, and he has to pay an additional 20%, 25%, actually is the chomesh. So what it's coming to tell me is dafka halacha of kodesh kodashim for me'ila. Ah, you'll say the me'ila. Lomeli kro, why do I need a pasuk? La'ashem. Remember, what was the diak over here? The diak was la'ashem. That even kodesh kodashim goes la'ashem, right? So you're saying, but it doesn't really mean that. What it really means is Kodesh Kodeshim is meant to belong to God. I mean, isn't that what Kodesh Kodeshim means? How Kodesh Kodeshim ksiv me? It says Kodesh Kodeshim. So I would say, why do I need the Lashem? I asked you, what are you doing with the word Lashem? You told me Lashem is coming to tell me that even a Kodesh Kodeshim, a Mizbeach, an Oila, can be given Lashem, meaning to Bedek HaBayit. Now you're turning it around and you're saying, no, actually what it means is that it there's a chiyav of me'ila. Chiyav me'ila, I need la'ashem. Chiyav me'ila, I learn out from the words kodesh kodeshim. Oh, you do, huh? V'lotay me'echod yom rabbi'anai ein me'ila mefureshet min ha'torah ela ba'ola bilvad. What about what rabbi'anai said? Rabbi'anai said, actually, if you read the Torah, you don't see it in a me'ila across the board. You only see it in terms of Ola. Why? Because it says Nefesh ki tim ol ma'al v'chata b'shkaga mikotche Hashem. Notice that it says kotche Hashem. Kotche Hashem means kotchem ha-miyuchadim la-Hashem, in which nobody else has any piece of the action. It's brought completely to God. But let's say Achatas v'Hashem. Achatas v'Hashem I don't see in that pasuk. How do I know Achatas v'Hashem is also something that I am b'chayev on me'ila? Achatas v'Hashem lo nafkan on elam mitarebi. For that I need the same raya that Rebbe needed. Of course, Rebbe used it for something else, as we'll see. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, why does it say kol chelev la'ashem? To teach me that even the chelev of kachim kalim are included in a me'ila. So me'ila, we see from there that that would be the place where Rebbe Yonai learned out kodesh kodeshim. Right? Chatas, Hashem. He learns that from Kochel of Hashem. Rebbe says, I don't need to learn it Kochel of Hashem. That's his problem, which we'll discuss in a moment. Rebbe says, I use it to tell me Kochim Kalim, and the Chelev of Kochim Kalim goes Hashem. Because according to Rebbe, as long as the Emurim are Miyuchadim, Legavaya, by Kochim Kadoshim, where it says by Oila, not only, in other words, the Kodesh Lashem that he used, Nefesh Timo Ma'al Mikotche Hashem, Rebbe holds mitzad asvara that applies also to something that the owner has no rights to. What's your problem? That the Kohanim eat a Karban Chatas? How do the Kohanim get the Karban Chatas? From where? They get it from Hashem. Kodeshim Kalim, that's a problem. Because Kachin Kalim, the owner eats it. So it means it wasn't given Lashem completely. So how do I know there that there's me? Okay, at least there's me called Chelev Lashem. That part is Lashem. That's Rebbe Shita. But what we're saying over here, that in the same way that Rebbe Yonai needed to learn from the words Lashem, he needed to learn that there's Me'ila by Chatas and by Asham, so too when it says Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Lashem, it's coming to tell me the din of Me'ila. Ah, you'll say, doesn't it say Kodesh Kodeshim? And by Chatas and Hashem, it doesn't say Kodesh Kodeshim. Both Chatas and Hashem are referred to as Kodesh Kodeshim. Was that enough of a reason for Rabbi Yonai to say, what do I need a Pasuk Lashem? It says Kodesh Kodashim, and that's enough for Megillah. So what do you see from there? That the word Kodesh Kodashim does not mean it's Miuchadim LaShem in a way that would be Mechayev Yom Megillah. Fine, so Rabbi Yonai needed it for Katas for Asham. I'm telling you, you needed it in exactly the same way for Kol Cheirim LaShem. No, what's bothering you? Did nobody scream at Rabbi Yonai that it said Kodesh Kodashim? So Chatas Varshon on Nafkem of the Rebbe, the Tani Rebbe Yomber Kol Chelav LaShem, the Rabbi Simurim Kachim Kalim Lama'ila. Ask him the same question. Why do I need a Pasuk LaShem Lama Likro? Doesn't it say Kodesh Kodashim? Ktibu, it says the word Kodesh Kodashim. Ela, what do you see from there? Afa Gav the Kodesh Kodashim Ktibu, even though it said those words, it's not enough. Because it doesn't tell me the dinim of Me'ila, it only tells me the dinim that it requires Shechita B'tzapha, and it has to be eaten inside of the Azara, and it reads the Zichreku, and all of the dinim of Kachi Kachi. But where do you see that that would be a dinim of Me'ila also? So you need a Pasuk L'Ravinu L'Me'ila. Therefore, all I'm telling you is, says Ula, it's the same thing by Haramim. Haramim Nami. And you say it's Kodesh Kodeshim. So what? Afagav the Kodesh Kodeshim K'tiv Bohu. You need a Pasuk to tell me that you're chayev a me'ila. That's the real usage of the pasuk. As far as the other usage that I made of the pasuk, that's a remes bi'alma, it's an asmachta, and indeed mid'rabbanan, if you are machtish, hegdish ilui, you take a korban for the mizbeach, and you say, I'm giving this to the Berek Abayit, they can't really stop you from bringing the korban until you pay them, because they don't really own it. It's the Rabbanan who said that that type of value has the chashivas of being able to be given to Agdash. So what right do they have? They have the right to stand there. Okay? Let him stand there. Let him send a representative. Gufa.
What happened to the Tiyuf to Teruvuna?
The Tiyuf to Teruvuna? Nothing happened to it. You mean what happened to poor Ravuna after the Tiyufta?
Yeah, I mean, was that a real Tiyufta? We couldn't get out of that?
No, that was a real Tiyufta. Did you ever play Wizard Chess or not?
No.
Oh, man. Let me tell you something. Checkmate over there doesn't give you much chances for recovery.
I thought he was getting out. We didn't, the Gemara didn't get him.
No. We were looking for a way to utilize his, we said, but what about the Pasuk? That's how we got onto this. Ravuna, it's all very nice that Tiyufta Ravuna. What do you do with the Pasuk? So Ravula said, let's review. Ravuna brought a riot from the Pasuk, Kodesh Kodeshim LaHashem, that either it's LaHashem or bust. In other words, you can't give something to Kohanim, Charmi Kohanim, from Kodesh Kodesh, there's no din of Hatfas. We then brought two riots that say absolutely and clearly that that's not the case. You can give Charamim to Kohanim directly. So we said, forget about Ravuna. And we said, what do you mean? But Ravuna did say a Pasuk. The Pasuk seems to be saying precisely what he says. So we said, the Pasuk comes to tell me, Kol Cherem, anything can be a cherem, even Kodesh Kodashim.
Then
we asked, okay, fine, now forget about Ravuna, we're on to Ula now. So we said, Ula? Ula said that? I thought Ula was the one who said that really, technically speaking, the only thing a Gizbar can do is say, hey, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be standing on that carbon when you bring it. I mean, what happened to the din of the monetary value that was given to the Berek Abayi? Right? So the Gemara answered, it's really not, Ula never meant that the pasuk needed to be used for that pasuk. It was only an esmachta. I mean, for that reason, it's an esmachta for that reason. The real meaning of the pasuk of Kodesh Kodashim LaHashem is that Haramim are given dinim of Me'ilah. And then we got off on a tangent. Why do I need to know that? If they're called Kodesh Kodashim, what's the Chiddush in that? So he said, look, you could have asked the same question on Rabbi Yonah. You see that the word Kodesh Kodashim does not necessarily have implications vis-a-vis Me'ilah. And therefore, I'm telling you the same thing. So now we're basically back to discussing the dinim and the Mishnah. Now, just I'm very interested what it means. You said Hamagdish Ola LeBerek Abayit Ein Bayala Ikuv Gizborim Bilvad. You're saying that Miikar Adin, all that you have in it is that the Gizbor should insist on his rights to be able to stand there. By the way, I just want to inform you without confusing you that Tosfos disagrees with this entire interpretation of the sugya. Ikuv Gizborim, he says, is ridiculous to say that it means that he should be standing there. It does mean monetary value, and the only thing that's bothering the Gemara is that Aliva de Ula, it should have meant that there's actual ownership in the goof of the korban, not money that you owe. Because that's what the Pasuk meant, didn't it? The Pasuk meant that you, that's how Tosfos, remember this is consistent with what we understood a moment ago. I explained that Rashi and Tosfos were arguing as to what the Havamina was before we had the Pasuk in Ravuna. So Rashi was saying Hekdesh Ilui meant money that it's worth for the Kohen to get the Orot, which we didn't have a Pasuk for. Then we showed that there's a new din of Hekdesh Ilui, which we do have from the Pasuk, and then we started worrying about the problem of how does Ula contradict itself in saying Angoela Ikov Gizbor and Gobad. Tosfos, on the other hand, says the difference between Ikov Gizborin, the idea of monetary value that we have, is always, it's always monetary value. The question is, prior to the Pasuk, or post the Pasuk, is how I view the nature of the relationship of that monetary value to the animal. That's the difference. If I want to present an animal in your name, and I want to put a plaque on it, I don't need a pasuk for that. You're willing to pay for that. And if people like the idea of having an Ola on their name, fine, pay me. If it's worth money, it's no different than the National Geographic value. Comes along the pasuk and says, no, that's not the point. The point is you can actually give that aspect of the animal to Beta Kabai. If you give that aspect of the animal, it means it's not money that I owe you. It's money that's reflected in whose carbon this is. In which case, when it, you want to now be mocked with that animal, I say to you, one second here, buddy. Who are you to be mocked with this animal? I'm the owner of the animal. You can't be mocked with this animal. Because I own the rights of Hakrava. Pay me. And this is what Beta Kabayit is saying. Pay me.
And that's what you do.
But if you're saying Ikuv Gizborim, what Ella Ikuv Gizborim, what do you mean Ella? That's the whole thing. Nah. Ella Ikuv Gizborim, says Tosfos, means that the Gizbor could say, hey, now wait a second over here. I mean, I got a little bit of a mortgage on this animal. I mean, it stands for money that you owe me. I mean, obviously I don't own the animal itself. But you owe me money in order to pay back what you dedicated, don't you? I want that. But what would that mean, that if I went ahead and say, stuff it, honey, and I go ahead and I bring it? Is there something wrong? I brought it, now go sue me. Go sue me. Fine, so he will sue you, and you'll have to pay. Very nice. But he can't stop you from bringing the carbon, because he doesn't own the carbon. That's what Ikuv Gizbor and Gobad means. So that's what's bothering us about Ula, says Tosfos. Now that the Ula is learning out from the Pasuk is saying that the Gizbor is the actual owner of the carbon. How can I come around now and bring the carbon? That bothers me. This is consistent in how Tosfos views the whole sugya. Okay, I hope I'm not giving you too much information. Whatever you get out of it, at least know that there's two perushim in Ikuv Gizbor. Basically, Hamagish Elul Berakabai Asur LeShofta Achati Padim. Here it says you're not allowed to shaft it unless you pay. You said that it's only Ikuv Gizborim. Nah, that's also only Midrabanan. Also only Midrabanan. That reflects the Pasuk of Ula. And you know what? I'm not giving you a hard time. It's got to mean that. Okinami Mistavra. Because, look, it continues on to say, Midiktoni Sefer Ima Varva Shafta Masha Asa Hasui. If you went ahead and shafted it, that would be okay. It's a good shechita. What do you mean it's a good shechita? It wasn't your carbon. Somebody basically took another person's carbon and went out and shechted it. So when he had no right to bring as a carbon. So, wait a minute. So you're saying it's only drabbonin? That's the problem. So then elamai drabbonin. Yotayim a safe, excuse me, but the end of the brisa says, umbralim shtei mi'ilot. If you benefit from this animal, you're going to have two chiyuvim of me'ila. One because it's kachim b'nek habayit, and then the obvious one because it's kachim mizbeach. What do you mean? How, if it's min rabbanan, how could there be me'ila? Me'ila means carbon and everything. How could there be me'ila for kachim b'nek habayit if you're now saying it's not really that kachim b'nek habayit own the animal, it's just I owe money to kachim b'nek habayit for photography rights. So how could you pay me'ila on that? No, the Gemara doesn't mean literally. And Tzachik Omar means Ru'uyalim Obash Emi'ilot. It's as if it would have two separate kedushas on it. All Mirabbanan, obviously. It's not that you're really going to be Chayav a carbon on it.
So if you want a furlough, you have 2 days to do a blood.
Yeah, I do. I don't want a furlough, but you want a furlough.
No, I have time.
You have time. That's you.
Attention span.
Attention span. Okay, I feel that there was a heck of a lot of material here. I don't mind putting off the next piece. Is easy, so we can run through it, but it's a whole new idea. If attention is faltering,
8 o'clock.
Then 8 o'clock would say Shabbat, and then we'll. You have time to hear the first. The first 6 hours of the shiur.
You start now.
It's actually 7 hours. The first 7 hours of the shiur, and then you, if you start now, then you can join us on the session.
It's on the living tree?
No, no, it's too dangerous to go off on.
You said there's a way to maybe.
I can send links to private individuals.
Okay.
Yeah.